Oh, you hear the sounds of the Stradivarius. Jason Fitz joining us now from Yahoo Sports. College Football Power Hour, Fantasy Football Live on Thursdays, and Inside Coverage with Frank Schwab. And he's got time for this show every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific. Jason, thank you so much for joining us. All right, so set the stage for us, because we know in the quiet confines of the Fitz compound on Sunday during this Raiders-Ravens game that there may have been a welfare check out for you because of so much screaming going on that people were kind of wondering, even your neighbors were like, yeah, this isn't an ordinary game. Something's wrong with Mr. Fitz.
Yeah, I think my neighbors love it, though, because this is what happens. Fall in Connecticut is beautiful, right? So all the doors and all the windows are open. And I have this sweet couple that lives right next to me. They're older, they're retired. They sit on their back porch, and, they used to get shock and awe, but now they're just used to the F-bombs that come flying out of my house with all the doors and windows open. So the Monday tradition after a win is I go to Crumble Cookie right down the road, and I get them a box of Crumble Cookies for ruining their Sunday. So, they're happy, I think, because they got a box of Crumble, they're happy, I'm happy. Look, there are certain moments that prove the identity of a coach, the identity of a team. There is a fight to this team. We can say what we want. The offense got a lot of issues. We'll talk about. But when you talk about what's the identity of the Pittsburgh Steelers, what's the identity of the Kansas City Chiefs, what's the identity of the Baltimore Ravens? Typically, and I think it's one of the most important things that has to come with a new coach. And I know AP was there before, but let's be real. We sat there and waited how long to find the identity of Josh McDaniels, and it just never came together. And even the second iteration of John Gruden took a very long time to figure out the identity. You know what this team's all about. You understand how they're going to do things. And I thought this was such a statement that every fan was just like me, down by 10 in the fourth quarter watching this offense. You think, well, this thing's over. I'm not sure we can score 10 points this season, nonetheless 10 points in the fourth quarter. And all of a sudden you just see that this belief in each other and this fight and this energy, man, there's a junkyard dog mentality to this team that is special and fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree, and they got it done by any means necessary, which also meant maybe a departure of how they really want to go about winning football games, and that's really hanging their hat on their running game. They kind of had to abandon that in the fourth quarter, but that's where I want to take you, because I don't think they want to abandon that at all. I think they want a punishing run game as their identity, and yesterday, and I give Antonio Pierce a lot of credit, didn't mince any words on where he feels ultimate responsibility lies. Yes, he did the cliche thing. It's on me. It's on the offensive coordinator. It's on the offensive line coach. Yeah, right. I'll say that because I have to say it. But the reality is, and he made this very clear, it's on the offensive line, and they need to do better. What were your thoughts on Antonio Pierce basically laying it at the doorstep of the offensive line publicly the way he did?
I think that's who Antonio Pierce is always going to be. Yep. Look, he will love you and he will support you, but he's not gonna cower away from what the problem is, right? And that's important. That's necessary if you want to talk about real when it comes to the way that these players are going to respect Antonio Pierce or not respect him in the locker room, right? You got to know that at the end of the day, if you're coming out and saying, hey, man, I'm always going to be, as the kids like to say, I'm always going to be 100 with you. Well, that means I'm always going to be 100 about you in every single situation. Mm. And you can't tell me that doesn't light a fire under people that want that sort of coaching. If you want to be babysat and you want a coach that's going to come in and tell you, I love you, that's I've always said, and there's nothing wrong with this, but I've always said that that's one of the traits of Derek Carr, for example, as a quarterback. He wants to be in a relationship with his offensive coordinator, his quarterback coach, and his head coach where he feels loved and supported. That matters a lot to him, and that's okay. I heard the same thing about Bryce Young coming out, Will Levis coming out, two guys that really they want that sort of love and support. That's great for some players. Antonio Pierce is going to be the kind that says, I love you by being real with you, being honest with you. And look, the offensive line has been bad. Not just, okay, the offensive line has been bad. And, I was talking to a Raiders fan yesterday that said, if we just had a great quarterback, and I stopped him nope. This is nothing about what we've seen so far. Am I putting squarely at the feet of Gardner Minshew? We have an offensive line issue with this team. It's got to be fixed. The talent is there. So you got to get whatever it takes to kick these guys in gear so they can be the best they can be. I love Antonio Pierce coming out saying, hey, I'm going to be this type of coach. If you are underperforming, I don't care if it's in front of a microphone or if it's in front of your teammates, I will call you out on it because that's who he was as a player.
Jason, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I imagine that jersey sales of Brock Bowers went through the roof yesterday afternoon. Just plainly, how good is this rookie tight end?
He's uncoverable. He really is. Like, he is, like, congratulations, Raider Nation, for everybody that was yelling in my menchies about the pick when it happened and for everybody that was screaming about it. And I think most of us were stepping back saying, calm down, it's going to be fine. That's all I can tell you. What do I say all the time? If you hit in the first round, your first round pick, you have an answer at that position for 10 years. I think the Raiders have found their Travis Kelce for the next 10 years. And that's impactful because, like, calling him a tight end is unfair to the way he was lining up. Luke Getsy, by the way, you know, I've been tough on Luke on this show, right? Like, yeah. Coach has not had a lot of grace from me. I think the ability to abandon the run and say, you know what, I'm going to line Brock up all over the field. I'm going to make them figure out what to do with it. And every time they actually think they've got it figured out, I will take advantage of the one-on-one that creates with Devontae. Like, Luke Getsy went in and said, if I only have two pieces on the chessboard, I will beat you with them. And kudos to him for that. It completely abandoning the run and then focusing on Brock and Devontae in the second half, that was an enlightening moment for this offense. And if they keep doing that, they're going to put up huge video game-like numbers with those guys. Brock Bowers is going to have a massive season. I genuinely believe he's got a real shot at Rookie of the Year this year.
Jason Fitz, Yahoo Sports, here on the Morning Tailgate. What did you make of that moment after the interception where Gardner Minshew was met with Max Crosby on the field, and it seemed to be a turning point of the game?
Yeah, I would say this, and I'm a humble brag. You know, Max and I are buddies. You guys know that.
Got tats.
I text Max. Late that night after the win, and I said, man, it's a pleasure to watch you play. Like, there are just certain guys that you're so damn proud that they wear the jersey of the favorite team for you. Max Crosby is one of them. Like, it's just, there is a moment where you look at it and say, my God, like, we're not just watching one of the most talented players. We're watching one of the best players we've ever seen in silver and black, and that is saying something. I think we are truly watching a generational icon, and there's a moment for me where you see what that moment meant, and you just saw the peace that it brought to Gardner there. You know, Gardner was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I got you. I'm good. But the fact is, this defense for two straight games has managed to keep the team in the game while they're figuring out what they're doing on offense, which is incredible. And instead of turning around like so many locker rooms do, I talked to people in and around the Jets locker room during the Zach Wilson era, and they were pretty honest that by midseason, that team hated each other. Mm. The defense hated the offense because they felt like their job was impossible. And you think about what we saw week one. We saw a defense that played lights out, and a couple of big runs skewed the way the national media has talked about that defense. I think that's unfair. You look at week two, you're talking about just absolute dominance in the first half. And in the second half, you got guys getting gassed because they're on the field and they're being asked to be Superman every play. And through that entire process, did you ever see one turn on another? No. And I just think that's because the standard is the standard, and the standard set by Max Crosby. Like, there is no player for the next 5 years that's more important to the success of the Las Vegas Raiders. There's no player that's more important to the billboard of the Las Vegas Raiders. And there is no player from this generation that will be more iconic and representative of the Las Vegas Raiders than Max Crosby. Like, I just, who he is not just a defensive lineman. He is not just a sack machine. He's not just a tackle for loss machine. He's not just a disruptor. He is the locker room. And when you know you've got that guy, man, that changes everything. This team is going to be in games they shouldn't, because Max is going to make them believe they can. In fact, it gives me goosebumps talking about it.
Yeah, and I feel like they're going to be welcoming in, and it's going to be very loud, I believe, at Allegiant Stadium. I think fans are revved up after that win against the Baltimore Ravens for the home opener against the Carolina Panthers. Come to find out that it's going to be Andy Dalton starting at quarterback rather than Bryce Young. I don't know what that necessarily means for the Panthers this Sunday, but I got to imagine that this Raider defense, you know, even though they have to figure out a different way against a different quarterback, this could be a game where it could get pretty ugly for the Carolina Panthers. How do you feel going into that game as a Raider fan, and the thought of maybe just getting an easy one, putting a waylaying beat down on a wounded team like the Panthers?
Well, the funny thing is, we've seen this before where quarterback change, bad team, Raiders find a way to lose. This is an Antonio Pierce game, right? Because I said last week, the one thing you never have to worry about is AP going to bring the full energy? Is the team going to bring the full focus? Mm-hmm. I don't think that there's any chance the Raiders have a letdown here, right? Like, this is too important for where they are. And now what do they get? They get a quarterback in Andy Dalton that's seen a lot of football. So you're going to have to disguise things well because he's seen a lot of football. He's a smarter quarterback right now than Bryce Young is. But you get somebody that has absolutely no mobility.
Right.
So to me, there's a real chance for this defensive line to just beast, right? There's a chance for the defensive line to be disruptive. I think the Carolina Panthers right now are giving us one of the worst eras in professional sports history. In fact, if you look at it, find a team that has had the number one overall pick in three consecutive years of their respective draft in a major sport. I've not found one yet. And that's where the Panthers are. Like, they were the number one pick last year, even though they traded it away. The level of ineptitude coming from Carolina is truly historic. The Raiders need a beer game. I like call them a beer game. You know, that means like put my feet up, have a beer. I don't really need to worry about the result. I can doom scroll in the second half. I'm so happy. Like, that's the sort of game the Raiders need here, because Carolina is not just bad. Carolina is terrible. The Raiders need to come out, though, with a focus, right? Like, this becomes a great opportunity with focus to work on some of the offensive things that you need to work on. And it becomes a great opportunity on the defensive side of the ball to stack some numbers, because we've watched the games. I understand how good this defensive line is. There are people out there that don't watch the games that are going to sit there and talk about the lack of sack numbers particularly. That means nothing to me. But these are the sorts of games where you can, man, you can hoss those up. Like, I think the defensive line is going to eat in this game. I think, Divine Diablo's got to play a little better. Epps has got to play a little better than they did in the last game at times. But this is a get-right game for the Raiders for anybody that needs that.
Jason, I apologize. I feel like we've buried the lead right now with this next question. And, we're combing through the game. What's your favorite play? What was the best play you saw in Baltimore? And it has to be after that Max Crosby second sack. 6'4", 315-pound Christian Wilkins jumping over 6'5", Max Crosby. Out of all the things we've seen Christian Wilkins do between the whistles, that may be his greatest athletic feat to date.
Look, you're not wrong. And by the way, I always love, just in general, we talk about these big guys, and every time I see one in person, the first thing I think about is that fat guy over there can run a 40-yard dash faster than any of us ever will be able to conceive of. Like, the athleticism of some of these guys is incredible. And the athleticism of Wilkins and Crosby together, the ability, by the way, batting down a couple of balls, too, like showing the little hops. Like, here's the thing we know. I don't want to play basketball against that Raiders defensive line. Like, I'd prefer if they didn't play basketball until the offseason. Thank you. But when they do, I don't want to play against them. Like, there's a level of athleticism that is absolutely freakish. And we're still waiting for Kuntz and Tyree Wilson to get healthy and come back. So, like, we're sneaky here on the big boys. I would take the big boy. I think the defense might beat the offense in a basketball match right now.
Oh, I love it, man.
I think that's fair.
You know, we're big fans of what you're doing up at Yahoo College Football Power Hour. What do you expect this weekend as Oklahoma, who is not used to being a home underdog by a touchdown, has Tennessee coming in? And we know what Tennessee's been doing. In fact, they even offered Kent State a running clock last week. How do you think this is going to match up, and what's the buzz?
I will tell everybody out there, if you want to go watch one of the most complete teams in college football this year, watch this game, not for Oklahoma. Like, we keep talking about Nico, the quarterback for Tennessee, that he's great, and he's going to be a pro in a few years that everybody's going to salivate over. Josh Heupel, the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers, does a great job of a spread offense. It's really simple for a quarterback, so you're going to see huge numbers in Tennessee's offense every year. I take nothing away from that. You want to watch something special? Watch that Tennessee defense. They swarm. They've got speed at every level. I think Tennessee's going to absolutely dominate Oklahoma. And by the way, guys, right now, like, coming into the season, my weird playoff pick was Tennessee. And a lot of people looked at me and thought I was crazy. Every time I see it, I just think more and more confidently. I think Tennessee's got a real shot at winning the SEC, but I think they are locked at this point for the college football playoff. I can't see a world where they don't make it. I think this is the game where we suddenly realize that, unlike Tennessee a couple of years ago that went on a run offensively and it was like, oh, this is fun. No, this is a Tennessee team that is great on both sides of the ball. I feel bad for Oklahoma, by the way, too, because Texas's schedule, welcome to the SEC, much easier than Oklahoma's schedule, welcome to the SEC. So at the end of the year, when we're talking about Oklahoma and their four losses and trying to figure out why they weren't as successful as Texas, let's remember that, unlike the NFL, those schedules are really arbitrary in college football. So
yes,
little grace to the Sooners, but I think they're going to get their butts kicked, honestly.
Love what you do, Jason. Thanks for making time for us today. We appreciate it. Let's talk again next week.
Let me tell you, Victory Monday felt good. Victory Tuesday feels even sweeter. Talk to you next week, boy.
Thank you. Jason. At Jason Fitz on X. Yahoo Sports, Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, I kind of forgot about the lack of mobility from Andy Dalton that is displayed even when he was with the Dallas Cowboys in 2021. And now, right now, like we even seen a line on the text that putting Andy Dalton against the Raiders' defensive line is elder abuse.
Yeah,
I bet you Patrick Graham has not forgotten the lack of mobility.
Yeah, or Marvin Lewis.
There was another great text.
Yeah, Dan from San Diego says, 8 years with Andy Dalton, Marvin Lewis should have an idea of the tendencies.
Yeah. I mean, there's not going to be a lot of surprises, I would imagine. Sunday,
no.
When it comes to, I know it's a new quarterback and there's no tape this year. There's not going to be a lot of surprises when it comes to Andy Dalton. And I won't call it a beer league game, beer game like Jason did, but
should be.
I'm not disagreeing with him.
No, I think this is a game that the Raiders should be able to flex some muscles against a Carolina Panthers team that, quite honestly, they are superior to. And I think I saw enough offensively, on Sunday to believe that they'll be able to score some points against this defense. I think the lack of mobility with Andy Dalton and the ferociousness of this Raiders defensive line, and let's be honest as well, the secondary has been playing great for the Raiders this year. Their linebackers are playing really good. So it's at every level of this Raider defense, and I have a feeling that with that ferociousness up front against Andy Dalton, there's a chance that he might make a couple of mistakes. Maybe this is the game where Jack Jones takes one to the house, or somebody does. I wouldn't rule
that
out.
It feels like it's
going to be a blowout.
It feels like a Jack Jones moment this week, doesn't it? We were talking about that yesterday. There's nothing I can point to other than they've been playing well. But Jack Jones has been just eerily quiet in a good way.
Yeah.
But like
sometimes you want your cornerback not to be mentioned.
Champ Bailey, the quietest probably DB in NFL history, arguably one of, if not the best, cornerbacks in NFL history, is because they never threw his way.
And what's great about this is that they are throwing Jakarian's way.
And he is stepping up, man.
Right. So we're seeing.
He looks good.
It's not deceiving what we've been seeing from Jakarian Bennett, because obviously they're going to try to challenge him, not wanting to challenge Jack Jones. And so far, Jakarian's been up to the challenge.
Let me ask you guys this, and maybe we can open this up to the phone lines as well at some point for the rest of the show. 702-365-9200. Is the Chargers 26-3 victory in week two, is that the baseline for the Raiders moving into week three?
In terms of
the result,
of common opponent,
they just played each other. There's not a lot of things that have changed. I mean, 23-point victory, held them to a field goal.
Oh, the Chargers.
The Chargers.
What was the final score of that?
26-3. Obviously on the road, they went cross country in week two. I'm curious, and I'd like to open that up to the fans, and if that's how they look at it,
let's do it.
I know that the organization does not look at it. I know that is not how they, but I'm curious just from a, when you're litmus testing, right? We're still kind of in the first month of the season. You're still kind of trying to gauge, all right, who is this team? Are we closer to the Baltimore game or are we closer to the Chargers game? Raiders fans, I think, are going to lean more to the Baltimore game. I know the organization is going to say that is who we are. Jason Fitz called it an identity game. Maybe not in the execution of how it played out, but in terms of the resiliency, the never quit, the physicality. That was an identity game, so I feel like you lean more towards that's what the Raiders are building towards.
Yeah, but with the understanding that there's room to grow, obviously with that, because we just mentioned, I think in the break, if the run game gets untracked, how much better this offense is going to look. Like, they're playing right now.
It'll feel complete.
With one arm tied behind their back.
Mm-hmm.
They are playing with one arm tied behind their back without that running game. They were still able to beat a really good team without it on Sunday, and that's definitely a tip of the cap to the coaching staff and to the players for figuring out their way. But eventually, you're going to have that run game going, and I think they will get it going eventually. And how much better is that going to make the offense look?
And just one quick point. Again, I know we're going to get more into this later in the week. The Chargers rushed the ball 44 times for 219 yards. So the ability to get right in the run game, as we were talking about last hour, very much there.
And look, it helps the Chargers when you have two stalwarts at tackle right now. And they have their tackles on both sides of the football for the next 10, 15 years. Everyone was saying they should have drafted Rome Odunze or one of the Millie Neighbors, and Jim Harbaugh said, no, I'm going to get Joe Alt from Notre Dame. I know where my butter, where my bread is buttered, and that's how I want to be. And that's exactly what they've been so far. So it's interesting things happening in L.A. because they're eventually going to get Justin Herbert healthy and they're going to lean on him. But they haven't had to thus far. That's kind of a scary thing to me.
Coming up next, your thoughts on the phones at 702-365-9200 here on Raider Nation Radio.
By the way, Saturday night, starting at 5 o'clock, Raider Nation, you are invited. Vince, you're invited. Clay, you're invited. The Crust and Rue over at Town Square, right across the street from Rockstar Bar and Grill, where we did these previously. But it's the Raiders' home game rally is back intact at Crust and Rue, 6825 South Las Vegas Boulevard. Great pizza pies. Great dessert pies. They've got pot pies there. They also have a slew of TVs, a great bar, and of course they're proud partners of Dos Catas Tequila. Join us at Crust and Rue this Saturday night, starting at 5 o'clock, 6825 South Las Vegas Boulevard. Be there or be square.
Right. Jackson to throw. Bateman there. It's batted up in the air. And Spillane's got it with a pick. He's back up on his feet, and he's racing. Well, they have blown it dead. No, they have blown it dead. But he picked it off on the deflection, and Spillane, who had three picks last year, with the Raiders' first takeaway of the season.
Jason Horowitz, Raider Nation Radio, on the call. Another great call. Man, I mean, did he have a bad call?
What's that dance you're doing?
You see this? You like this?
What is that?
I don't know.
Not really.
My
but...
body is just moving. Clay puts this music on, and it's involuntary.
It's a Victory Tuesday first pick of the year.
You know,
Dave, that's what it is.
I was going to say, we're trudging our way on a Tuesday.
You're going in opposite directions. Did you know this?
That was the trudge.
Yeah, you're going. No.
I was going this way?
Yeah.
Oh, I was bringing it back.
You're bringing it back.
I was bringing it back.
That's
a little.
What I was thinking.
Bringing
like,
the vibes in.
Keeping it high and tight. Keeping it high and tight.
I do the high and tight.
Work the delts.
High and tight, good haircut as well. High and tight.
Concepts of a plan.
What were we talking about? Oh, Raiders.
Yes.
Victory Tuesday. You know, I posed the question. I kind of want to keep that conversation going a little bit as the callers are starting to line up, 702-365-9200. As we look ahead a little bit to this Carolina game.
Turn the page, right?
We're starting to turn the page. Starting to turn that page. Because you're never as high as you want to be, and you're never as low as you think. You got to stay even keeled. So it's on to the next one. 26-3 was the final between the Chargers and Panthers in Charlotte week two. And I'm curious, is that the litmus test we can look at and say, all right, this is that's kind of the basis for the Raiders? Because we're all going to sit here, and just like everybody picked against the Raiders week two, everybody is seemingly going to pick the Raiders come week three. So when you look at this at this challenge, now the challenge is, okay, now you're getting the respect of saying, hey, you need to go win the game. Now can you do it? And can you do it in a fashion that is...
convincing.
That is of the ilk of a team that you are better than.
Right. Like, that's exactly. Let's get right to the point. This needs, to me anyway, it needs to be a convincing win. Of course they're going to accept it by any means necessary. However it comes, these are hard to come by. We get it. We understand that. But this is a wounded team that they're playing. They're reshuffling at quarterback. The Raiders, I think, found some magic or found themselves a little bit in that fourth quarter. The run game, obviously still a work in progress. I would expect that to get worked on, and we'll see what it looks like on Sunday. But there's no question that they're the better team against the Carolina Panthers. There's no question about it, and vastly, I would say.
I think 31 other teams are the better team right now than the Carolina Panthers.
So there's no excuses to not have you know what Jason was talking about: kick back for the fans, enjoy a beer, enjoy a fun, you know, a second half where you're decidedly ahead. To me, it would be a disappointment if the Raiders don't put together a really convincing victory against this team.
702-365-9200. Out to the phones here in Las Vegas. Jared, thank you for holding. Go ahead.
Morning, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Good morning.
Good, thank you.
Great. Well, I want to piggyback on a little bit of what Vinny was saying, what we should do. Well, man, you know what? Scars of a Raider fan, let me tell you. Yeah. There's so many times that we've seen this exact scenario. Matt Ryan coming off the bench, warming up that arm, and he just found a way. There's just been too many times. And yeah, we're better. And yeah, this should be something that the Raiders dominate. But I am cautiously optimistic. I know that this team is different than those teams, but proof of concept needs to be shown on Sunday. We need to show that that is the Raiders of the past and this is the Raiders of the future. We need to see it. And, man, over the years, it's just been too many times where they should be the better team, they are the better team, and they go out and lay an egg. And furthermore, this needs to be a get-right game. This needs to be the game where Alexander Mattison and Zamir White can go out and dominate on the ground. And the worst, the most dangerous thing in nature is a wounded animal. This is a wounded animal. Don't let them feel like they have a chance. We cannot go into the fourth quarter with them having some belief, because you give them belief, and, man, I am scared of what might happen.
Well, inch or a mile,
I don't care how it gets done.
Yeah.
Just win.
I disagree. I think it needs to be, you know, I know that they would accept it at the end of the day, but if they don't win convincingly, I think there will be some disappointment. But you said something key, and I want to get this defined by you. You said it is different, you know, with the you said, yeah, I know it's different with the Raiders. In your mind, why is define why it is different?
He's gone.
Oh,
yeah, Jerry's
okay. Because for me, it's the defense. To me, the Raiders have never had a defense like this. Yes, toward the end of last year, it started turning around. But when you're talking about all those trap games in the past, when you talk about Matt Ryan coming off the bench, when you talk about some of the eggs that they've laid over the years, quite frankly, they never had a consistently good defense that can consistently, every single game was that good that you can count on that defense. That's the key difference to me, Vince, is that this defense is legitimate. And I don't see that. I don't see many eggs being laid by this defense. Whereas in the past, yeah, a Matt Ryan could come off the bench and torch you because the defense just wasn't very good. I think that's the key difference for this team this year.
Yeah, I don't really get into the stats and numbers in weeks one and two just because there's so many outliers.
Yeah.
I kind of wait for the first month till I kind of see where teams sit in terms of defensive rankings and things like that. Obviously, we can see sacks and interceptions and things like that. That being said, the Raiders only have one interception, and that's obviously not even close to the picture that they have painted in the first 2 weeks. They've been absolutely elite, and we can talk, and we already talked about what happened, what went wrong in the fourth quarter in week one, but what this defense was able to do against a two-time MVP, against an offense that had every weapon you would want on an offense in terms of they answered the bell, and they did it in tremendous fashion. And so we heard from Jason Fitz talking about Max Crosby kind of leading the way, and I think he said it best. Max Crosby is going to, and that defense is going to be the reason this team is in a lot of games throughout the season.
Agreed.
This is not one of those games the Raiders defense needs to keep them in. This is a game that I think this was your point as well. They have to make this convincing.
Right.
This cannot be. And while you take a win any way you can get it, and the Raiders will, because at the end of the day, it's not how much, it's just how many, they need to get the win. But how they do it,
yeah, it's important.
Goes a long, long
it's
way.
Important.
It's not dissimilar from how they won in Baltimore. It was impressive. It was resilient. It was physical. It was everything you hope for from this Raiders team. We talked about they need to get out of weeks 1 and 2, 1 and 1. They did that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not the way we all thought it was going to be, but they did it. And like I said, it's not – you got it. But this one has to look different. This one has – because that's going to show the growth of the team. I mean, you could hear the scars from that – from was it Jared in Las Vegas? You could hear – we've been
There's
here too
tissue
many
times.
You could hear just by the way he kind of like winced at the thought of, oh, this is a gimme game.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be, though. That's the mark of a team that is getting better. That is the mark of a team becoming a great team. That is the mark of a team becoming a team that you can say, hey, that's a playoff team. Those are the differences. You can't just – and I know it's week three, long season. I get that. But there's not many games going to be on the Raiders' schedule where you can say, all right, this is a get-right game. This may be the only one.
Well, and here's the thing to that. You know, we talk about 1-1. I mean, they're close to being 2-0. I know they're close to being 0-2 as well. But this team, if they had any kind of an offensive performance, on last Sunday against the Chargers, this would be easily, because the defense is so good, honestly, it should be 2-0 right now. As good as that defense has played, and that's obviously hope for the future. But this is a game where it just doesn't add up for me from a Carolina Panthers perspective. Coming all the way across country, a new quarterback. You already know that they're talking amongst themselves in that locker room, like, 2 weeks in and we're switching quarterbacks.
We benched our franchise. Like, what are we doing?
Right. So there's a lot of uncertainty going on in that.
Because there's no film they've put on in 2 weeks that gives them.
Where are the answers?
That's what I mean. Like, yeah. It's not like, oh, if we just correct. No, they're getting blown out.
They're a bad
out.
Football team.
Yeah, they're a bad football team. So that's why I think it has to be convincing.
And it's okay to say that. And it's okay to expect that. You should, in games like this, you should expect to go out there and play your best football and convincingly beat a football team that's just not as good as you, period.
El Paso Raider continues that historical trend, worried that the Raiders play down to their competition. He says, don't forget the Mayfield game, the Saturday Old Man Ryan game, Atlanta after Thanksgiving. Shaking my head. All right, more phone calls, 702-365-9200. Hey, it's Sean in Baltimore. What's up, dude? Good to hear from you.
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
Hey, good thanks.
Hey, Vinny, I was trying to call yesterday to catch you, man. Before you catch the flight, tell you where to grab a nice softball crab cake at, man.
Ah, where would you have recommended so I know for the next time?
So it's like, so if you fly out BWI, K&M is like right around the corner. You could have got a nice softball crab cake.
Okay, next time. As it turns out, we had the extra time because our flight got delayed, so.
So I'm with every Raiders fan, man. We just seen, like, Baker Mayfield come in and beat us, like, getting off the couch, man. So it's like. Until they just constantly doing it, or remember the 2016 team with Derek Carr, them, they was always beating people like at the last minute.
Very opportunistic.
And constantly doing it like every week.
Yeah.
So it started being a pattern. So we was like, okay, yeah, we down, but we gonna win it. And I mean, you start getting used to it. Until his defense starts every game just balling like that, because we haven't seen it, man. We haven't seen it constantly for years, man.
Yeah.
We only seen it for a short period of time. And only why I'm kind of like cautious about it is because it'd be something different if our defense playing like they playing now and our offense steady putting up points. Like if we had lost to like the Chargers by like 2 points, but we were still like putting up points during the game, like quarter after quarter after quarter, I'd be okay, yeah, we good. But this last game, I was at the game. Trust me, man, I was up a heat. I stopped drinking second quarter.
It was hot.
Hey, I told my friend, I was like, no more drinks. I got to drink water.
Preservation.
What a smart man. What a responsible man.
Right. So if they was like just putting up points like every quarter, that's scoring, then I'd be more like, okay, yeah, we got this. But right now, I'm like every other fan in the nation, like, we should beat them, but it's like that little, like, sitting on your shoulder, like, I don't know, man. Like, it just, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like we should beat them, but.
What? Okay, so you're saying, because I think it's a win. Period. I'm saying they should win convincingly. You're a little worried that they're not even going to win the game. It sounds like
no. I want them to win, and I know, but we've been let down so many times.
Yeah.
Man.
No, I understand. I totally understand. I just feel like the big difference is this defense is just so good, and it's something that we saw throughout every single practice. They were just dominating day after day after day. It left us questioning, is this offense just not good, or is it just that they're going against a great defense all the time? And yeah, we talked about how Colt Miller and Jackson Powers Johnson weren't out there at all during training camp, and that obviously played a role. But there were days where the offense was just frustrated because they could never get anything going because Max Crosby or Christian Wilkins or Malcolm Kuntz or whoever else would be in the lap of the quarterback before he even was able to, almost simultaneously to him getting the ball. And we're already seeing that happen so far this year with this defense. I don't expect any deviation for them in that regard. Yes, the offense has to come to play, Vince, on Sunday, but I think this is – it feels like a get-right game for the offense. The defense doesn't need to get right. This could be just one of those great games that they have. They're already right.
Sean, thanks again for the call. We got to clear the phone lines because we got tickets to give away for the Shriners Open that comes up here at TPC Summerlin, October 17th through the 20th. I got a pair of tickets. See some of the best golfers in the world. ShrinersChildrenOpen.com, but I have two for here for you at 702-365-9200.
Back to the Morning Tailgate with Vinny, Vince, and Clay on Raider Nation Radio.
Raider Nation Radio, 702-365-9200 is the number, as also as our text line at 702-365-9200. Dame in Oakland. We don't have a convincing offense, so I don't expect a convincing win, but I'd like that, but I just want to win. And still, people remembering the past, even Sal in the 6-2-3. And Antonio Pierce needs to remind this team what Ryan Fitzpatrick did a few years ago and apply it to Andy Dalton. Okay, we get it.
But that was a horrible defense.
It's a considerably different team, especially on personnel.
Defense. It was a terrible defense. And
the defense was constantly ranked in the high 20s.
Right. This is legitimately a championship caliber defense. I'm just letting everybody know in case you haven't realized that yet. It is a championship caliber defense. Am I wrong, Vince?
Have you seen Carlito's Way?
I love Carlito's
Way. Oh, yeah, I love Carlito's Way.
So I just watched it for the first time.
Oh, Brian De Palma. One of his better movies, really.
So Al Pacino is a great fantastic. How about...
I'm not ignoring your question, but the music... That Clay keeps bringing us in.
Yeah, that was.
Feels very 80s. Mm-hmm. And after hearing that now watching Carlito's Way and in those club scenes, that's what I'm feeling.
Here I am playing Humphrey Bogart.
That's what I'm feeling right now.
Sean Penn was excellent.
He was fantastic. That was great. What a movie that was.
That guy was robbed of a Best Supporting Actor nomination.
Yeah.
Carlito's Way
was
fantastic.
He's the reason why I love watching that film.
Wasn't that a play? I think I want to say it was a stage play. That they made into a movie. So
it was great.
Very
yes.
Good.
Answering your question. Sorry, the music
great start.
The music put me in a
trance.
You're
probably wondering how I ended up this way. Slab on. Go ahead.
And as a TV guy, I'm really cognizant of the editing that goes on, especially in these older movies. And The Sign, where it was paradise, and how that went from a sign to a moving picture. It was flawless. Yeah. It was done.
You might get a lot of response. I have a feeling that there's some Raider fans who have seen
Carlito's Way.
Yeah. Beautiful, wonderful movie.
Either way, you're going to end up in the trunk of a car somewhere on the Belt Parkway before long, maybe weeks before they find you.
It was great. It's a great movie. Fantastic. I was
Luis Guzman in that too.
Yes. He always adds something. Yes. To
Benny Blanco from the Bronx.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand the fans. And these responses, which is why, I was trying to elicit a response and I was curious what I was going to get, but it was what I thought it was going to be when I asked the question. Was the Chargers game, what happened in week two, does it give you, it was more so of confidence, is that the litmus test? Is that the standard? Because that was a dominant, convincing, no doubt about it, win for the Chargers in week two, mm-hmm. right? We all agree. Yeah. 26-3 was a slam dunk. Yeah. Never a question.
Up 20-0 at the half.
Was never a question. Right. Wire-to-wire finish. So that was my question to the nation, to the tailgaters. Is that what you expect? I mean, is hey, that the
you
test?
Should.
And but the response
still bringing up
is
the
that
past.
We get, and I understand it.
Remember
it,
the Saints
hard,
game?
It's hard not to, because how many times has this franchise and organization been here? Which is why, and you keep pointing to the defense, which is valid, and I agree. But that's why this week, because of what they did in week two, is more than just a 2-1 start. This is a franchise evolving mm-hmm. type game because of the ghosts of the recent past, because of
agreed.
Matt Ryan and Jeff Saturday and Ryan Fitzpatrick and name whoever else came in and did the unthinkable. Baker Mayfield did the unthinkable, right? This is a franchise evolving type win. This isn't a culture, because the culture is feel pretty good about where the culture is with mm-hmm. the Raiders and the resiliency and the talk in the locker room. Feel pretty good about that. Defense feels great. The team itself showed, Gardner Minshew said, this is what we can be.
For sure.
Showed it. They saw it. With our eyes, for
they
the
saw
first time
too.
This season,
right.
We saw it. They saw it. Now,
there's no turning back.
Now there's a new level to it, right? This is a new level. This mm-hmm. is... Did the franchise, are we moving forward from a fan base's perspective as a franchise? Have we moved forward? And the only way to answer that is a win is no longer the question.
Against this type of a
team.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying. This specific week, a win is no longer a question.
Should not be.
How?
Right.
How convincing of a win is it? That is the question, and that is what a conversation to be having for week three for this Raiders team, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
I mean, if you're a Raiders fan, if you're a Raiders fan, I understand the hesitation or the wincing or the, oh man, you
We've
know, that's bringing up past
before.
Demons. Yeah. I get it.
They can't go there.
To move away from that.
You saw it. We saw it in person over the last few years. We get it.
Yeah.
But now, all right. There's no more dipping the toes in
water. And to truly distance yourself from those bad memories. I always bring up the Golden State Warriors. Like it turned. It actually did happen. That was a organization that, quite frankly, from a Lakers perspective, down south in Los Angeles, and the Warriors were always in there. It was they were looked on as like your little brother in a lot of ways. The Clippers were a completely different whole situation, but like your cousin, it was we like you actually because you're meaningless in a lot of ways. Because
there's no hate.
There's
here.
No hate.
Yeah, what do I have to hate?
Right,
I beat you.
Now they turned that into a genuine. Now there's not hatred. There's still respect, but it did turn, and things can turn, and I get it from the fans' perspective because it's on the team to give them that sort of confidence, that sort of comfort level. Like fully expect to go beat an inferior team convincingly against the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. And that's why I keep saying I get tired of the disrespect from the national media. Well, what do you want them to do?
Hey, well, you're going to
have, you proven?
You're gonna have a lot of respect these Sunday morning these pregame shows.
These are the moments, if you want them to talk about you.
These are going to be the ones that you have to answer
on Monday morning in good terms and not just same old Raiders. If you want to distance yourself from that type of talk, and if you want to change the narrative, it's in your power to do that.
So 702-365-9200. Boys, we got full phone lines lit up.
Yes.
So we're going to take those calls.
Carlito's
next,
way, I bet.
Next hour. It was all Carlito's way. I'm so glad I watched that. Also, one last note before we turn to the new hour. The Raiders had the third most improbable victory based on the fourth quarter, according to the analytics, in week one. The first most improbable, last night, the Falcons and the Eagles. It's the tailgate. A Monday.